What country did this car from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagreb Zlotik je.
Hello and welcome to Better Than H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the hell are you?
Very well, Terry. Very well. And how are you?
I too am well.
Great to hear it, pal.
Yay!
Hey, I always get giddy at the intro.
Yes, sir. Now I'm going to rip this band-aid off real quick.
What is it? Immediately, 22 seconds in.
New record. World's record.
Citrus clear?
It is a Lucasade Citrus Chill.
Right up your street.
I bought this all the way over the other side of the city. Ooh. So I'm mixing it with a bit of Kentucky bourbon here just to, you know.
Very good.
I don't know if it's going to be a good mixer, you know.
Do you know you don't even need to add the word Kentucky to that, because the fact that it is a bourbon means that it was made in Kentucky. So, now, first of all, tell me how it is. Don't lie to me, Terry.
Maybe I'll try it sans bourbon. I can get a taste of the bourbon. I can't really get a taste of the citrus chill.
Can't really get a taste of the chill, huh?
It's just citrus clear.
No, but they got some nerve calling it chill. Like, it's refrigerated at the same temperature as the rest of the bottles.
But it's just powered by glucose.
They give it an icy blue packaging. Mm-hmm. They have the gall to call it chill, like it's some one of those Coors cans or something.
Oh, get fucked with your Coors
can. I don't know
can.
Beer reference. I'm talking your language here, pal.
You drink Coors. Yeah. You're basic.
Yeah, what's wrong with Coors? Coors are a Corona. Actually, I don't drink cans at all, really, anymore. Actually, that's not true. I'm all over the place.
I don't know what I want.
Yes.
How have you been, anyway?
Very well, Terry. Very well.
What have you got there?
Coke Zero or Coca-Cola Zero Sugar.
Talk about rebranding, huh?
And we're delighted to have Coca-Cola Zero Sugar as the official sponsor for this podcast. Thanks
they
very
don't
much,
sponsor
guys.
Us. What are you doing?
Controversy creates cash, Terry.
I just read this book.
I've been well. What have I been up to? Flat tire today. So, deadly. Drove all the way home from work. Two hours, I guess. I don't know. Again, I did that on the way to work a couple of years ago. I think it might have punctured when I came into Arklow. But like some knacker in the shop was just like, oh yeah, front passenger tire is flat, you know. And I was like, oh great. So I've got to deal with that now. Luckily there's a garage five doors down, so it's not too bad.
And are you in the office tomorrow?
Yeah, coming in late.
Well, gotta be, isn't it?
Yeah. What can I do? I can't drive.
This is it.
But I'll tell you what else. More importantly, Terry, here's what I've been doing. Here's what I've been watching. And if I may say, no offense, but this podcast is cutting into some serious time for me to watch said show. I've been binging, Terry.
Do dish.
Formula One, Drive to Survive. No, Terry. It's brilliant.
One of the lads is banging on about it.
See, I'm not into Formula One. Kerry's not into Formula One. But I think I am now. Just like that. It's really good. You would love it as well.
Maybe.
You and Faye would love it. It's a great way to sneak in some sports when the two of you have the TV. Because there's drama, there's backstabbing, there's explosions, there's it's just really
it's
good.
It's like 3 seasons? Has that just come on Netflix, or is the third one the latest one just come on?
It's
always been there, like, you know what I mean?
That's what I actually don't know, because I feel like I would have... The first 2 seasons are brilliant, so I would have figured it must just all be here in one go or something. I thought it's Netflix original, actually, so... No, it was there. But Yeah, excellent. But I haven't.
They
I haven't...
use that term very loosely. Netflix original.
Mm.
It's like we can bought they, this. Can they show.
Stick that on the top of like?
They can stick that on anything. Like they that show you. Is a Netflix original, even though it was like made for like fucking True TV or Lifetime TV, one of those ones. They were like, okay, yeah, we like this show. We'll, you know, get more eyes on it, but we're buying it and calling it a Netflix original, even though.
Did they do that with Final Space as well?
Yeah, that's like a TBS show, I think.
But anyway, this, I mean,
I want to really dig into this, Andy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's kind of it. But, it just, no, I mean, you know Netflix what it does? Thing. Okay, no, I'm back to the Formula One thing now.
No, but, you finish talking, then I can talk.
Yeah.
So you do it, talk. Okay, you finished?
Yeah, I'm finished.
Great, okay. Great.
Hang on, let me take a sip here.
But it's good, anyway.
Very good. And because I, like... To my untrained eye, I'm just seeing Hamilton, and I never liked Hamilton.
Like there was winning. A big thing with him, wasn't there? And his teammate.
I don't know if I've got to it yet. Haven't got to it yet. Don't spoil it for me, Terry.
Oh,
haven't
sorry.
Yeah, and I thought, well, it's boring. Why would I ever watch that? Like, he just wins every time. But there's loads going on behind him. There's loads, like, they're cheering. They come sixth, and they're like, yes, yes! Like, really, like... passionately because they get points and all this sort of stuff.
That's how the board works. Like Mario Kart, man.
Yeah, basically. But I was thinking other sports should really... I mean, I know they kind of are a bit more... There's like a Spurs documentary. I haven't seen it. And a few others like... I don't know what. But I really feel like more sports should do this because this has completely brought me into Formula One and now I want to watch it. And I feel like if they did that, like they did that with even Sunderland Till I Die,
I haven't watched any of them apart from
why you love
the,
them.
I know, like The Last Dance is like completely my jam, like, and some of the ones on Disney Plus, like the 30 for 30s, I've watched, I've loved.
Yeah,
the football ones, like the soccer ones, I'm like, I don't really want to know. Like, I don't want to see Jose Mourinho or Pep Guardiola, like. Because my tribalism like for Man United, like I don't care. Fuck off, Klopp. Like fuck off, Guardiola. Like,
let me ask you a question: who's your second favorite team in the league?
Ooh, I've always been a bit of a West Bromsman.
Oh, Big Sam.
No, he's destroying that club. It was more, when they had that midfield of like Chris Brunt, Mulumbu. Morrison, Graham Dorans, like
Schlubs.
They're great. Like Chris Brunt scoring these ridiculous, like, I'm just gonna kick it as hard as I can and it's gonna burst the net.
Literally, like his name says it all. Yeah. Brunt.
So that West Brom or I always kinda liked Everton. But they're kind of getting a bit too good. Same with Leicester, I'm like, they're too good now. They're rivals. Yeah. I hate them now. Die.
So in principle, you can only kind of root for someone who's not going to be troubling your team.
Yes. Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah, like,
so it's got to be a bottom 10 team essentially.
Pretty much. Like you know, Everton used to be hanging around like the 10th spot. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, that's about right. I can like them.
I have to say, I have a bit of a soft spot for Brighton.
Yeah, they're a bit of a nothing team for me, really. Yeah, but like,
I don't know. I just like the way they play. I mean, it's not a good way because they don't win games. But I appreciate that they're trying to play.
There's certain players. We used to always talk about this where it was like, who's the best underrated player, you know, that you would take in the Premier League? As in, like, the player that like nobody likes, but you like.
Oh, interesting.
I've had a few over the years, like any of those West Brom lads I mentioned. I used to love Two Guys. Remember Two Guys?
Oh yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah, like you always score these ridiculous goals, like.
Yeah. What about now? Who would be your?
Now,
that's a tricky one. Now,
let me see.
Is it too mainstream to say Giroud?
Yeah, I mean, like. Kind of, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm more thinking like.
It's not that unpopular opinion.
Like I used to always say, like Stephen Davis, who played for Southampton. You know,
for the real grafters.
The real hipster footballer guy, apparently.
Todd Cantwell.
Some fucker like that, like.
Yeah.
You know?
Anyway, that's pretty much all I've been doing, Terry. Binging, and I don't binge often. How about you, more importantly?
I stumbled across a great show last night.
Oh, yeah.
I stumbled across it on Amazon Prime. I don't know if you've heard of the guy Robert Kirkman.
Hang on.
No, you know, he I'll tell you, you don't have to Google him.
Oh, hang on there, Terry, I got it.
He's the guy who wrote the book for The Walking Dead, you know, the comic book.
Oh, I wouldn't have known him. Yeah.
So, I'm watching a show based on another one of his comic books called Invincible.
Right.
It only dropped on Amazon Prime last Friday. And the idea is, it's kind of like an analog for what if Superman had a kid.
Okay. Right?
So the guy, and he's played by J.K. Simmons, which is fucking great. Great casting. But like, he's like the Superman analog, and his son is actually Glenn from The Walking Dead.
Okay.
You remember Glenn?
No.
He's the Asian guy.
Oh, of course, yes.
Yeah. He's his son who's like, hasn't had any powers, and he just starts to come into his powers, essentially. Mm,
I do like that now.
Yeah, so it's him learning how to do that and battle the whole thing with, like, can he live up to his dad's?
Are there scenes of him trying out his powers?
Yes. Now, I did not mention that it's animated. Good. It's an animated.
You should have started with that.
Or rated as well. Oh. Like.
Now, look at my attention now. I'm sitting up in my chair. No, I'm Googling how it looks.
Invincible, it's called, right? And I watched the first episode last night and I was like, I like it. Shame. What, the animation? Yeah.
It's too comic booky. Am I just looking at the comic book?
Oh, maybe.
Hang on. Sorry.
Hang on.
Still, everything I'm seeing here looks pretty comic booky.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of does look like a comic book.
Okay.
That's the thing.
Pass. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Oh, God.
I'm kidding. Go on.
Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg are producers, just so you know. So that might get you back on board.
You started this with the wrong information, my friend.
Anyway, they do the whole thing in the first episode, and it's like, it kind of culminates with him taking on his first criminal or whatever, right. And I was like, and he's like, you better just give up now because I'm, and it just has like the title card, Invincible, and I was like, that was a very solid episode, I have to say. And then it cuts to this epilogue to the first episode that goes on for 10 minutes, and I can't say anything because if you're thinking about watching it, or if anybody's thinking about watching it, it fucking blew me away.
Oh.
And I was like,
interesting.
I want to watch the next episode straight away. Now, it was 10:30 at night, so, and there are 45-minute episodes.
Just so getting started.
I was like, I have to wait till tomorrow. But it is very promising. I think it's going to be my bag for the next... They drop a new episode every Friday. They have 3 out at the moment.
Right.
But I was very impressed.
It kind of looks like the Tick kind of animation.
Kind of, yeah. A little bit like that, like, yeah.
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 Okay.
But there's F-bombs and lots of graphic, you know, violence. It's good.
Excellent. Okay, well, I'm always on the hunt for some new animation.
Now, like, it's very superhero-y, but
okay.
if you just kind of lean into it, it's...
Is it funny?
Yeah, it's funny, yeah. But it's weird funny, though, as well. Like, you know, it's not a straight-up comedy.
Right.
You're not really watching it for the comedy.
That's a hard there now.
But it's good,
if it's not funny,
it's fun.
Okay. Okay. Well, you know what? I'll try it.
I will actually try it. Like, if the end of that first episode doesn't get you, well then, you know.
I got something on your recommendation, Terry.
Ooh.
And I will Google Chromecast.
Hello. Change your life?
Not yet. Now.
Sorry?
What did you say? I mean, like, it's handy because, but like, I had the PlayStation.
Yeah, but like, now you don't need the PlayStation.
Yeah, it's
now
good.
You don't need to have to fucking go into the internet and the PlayStation.
I don't have to go to the fucking jet engine.
Exactly. You have your phone or your laptop and you just fucking cast.
But because you were saying, because I got the last one on a torrent, allegedly, that like I could watch stuff through the Chromecast, but don't you have to have like official apps approving of, you know, Chromecast? You know
no,
what I mean?
Like, what do you mean? Like,
certain streaming places mightn't be supported by Chromecast.
But if you just have it open in
Chrome?
You just cast your screen, cast your page.
Of course.
Then
that's
it will
how they get
like,
you.
Yeah. Who?
So you have to use Chrome. Google.
Well, what do you use? You don't use Google? You don't
yeah,
use Chrome?
Yeah, well, you know what?
I know you use Chrome. You've told me all about incognito mode.
Yeah.
That's nice weather we're having out there.
You know what? I've actually been on Bing. Is it Bing? Because that's just the default on my computer and work.
Fuck off, Andy. Bing.
Yeah, what's the difference? Like, who really cares?
I tell you, I care. Clicking cares.
Why would
because
you
get
care?
Like if you search something on Bing and you search something on Chrome, the results you get on Chrome
let me
are
let
better.
You in let me let you in on a little secret
free
slick. Comedy
tip slick
is that if I okay well you know what we'll do a test right now do you have Google Chrome
I have Chrome open right now
right now I'm going to search for something and you search for the exact same thing and I bet you it'll give us different results.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Google is better. Go on.
No, it'll give us... No, I'm gonna be on Google too.
Ah, okay.
And it's going to give us different results, right?
Go for it.
I'm
going to
search...
Let's get the spelling exact.
Let's just say world's tallest man. I don't know why that was the very first thing out
okay.
of anything to Google.
Yeah, I have it here.
World's tallest man, right?
Yeah, well, it's the first spelled thing that
right?
comes up for you, yeah.
Robert Wadlow. Yeah, but okay. Yeah, but hang on. People also ask, what does yours say?
Who is the tallest man on Earth in 2020?
Bollocks.
How tall is the shortest man on the world?
First three links underneath the images, please.
GuinnessWorldRecords.com.
Keep going.
GuinnessWorldRecords.com. Wikipedia.
Keep going. Bollocks. Why did I have to say, actually, let's stop and I'll prove myself wrong immediately? Why didn't I just say, I'll tell you something? They give us different answers. I had to go and lay it all out there.
Can't you go 5 minutes without humiliating yourself?
How long was that? Anyway.
I'll tell you what else I watched.
Yeah, go on.
Right. I watched The Lincoln Lawyer over the weekend. Just because we were talking about Matthew McConaughey earlier on, happenstance would have it. And I watched The Lincoln Lawyer over the weekend.
Good is it?
You've never seen it?
No, it sounds like a...
It is based on a Michael Connelly book.
I don't know who that is.
He's the crime fiction guy I read.
Ah. Like an Andy McNabb sort of guy.
No. Yes. Why?
I don't know.
Andy McNabb
I've just
was
seen
like
an Andy
Army.
McNabb book in your house.
No,
like 15
no,
years
no,
ago.
No, 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 no.
I don't know if it was yours.
No, it definitely wasn't my house. We never had Andy McNabb.
Okay,
fucking army propaganda, that is.
Oh, is he? I didn't know.
The Lincoln Lawyer is Matthew McConaughey as a lawyer driving around LA in his Lincoln, being cool, essentially. And it's a murder, you know, not a murder mystery, but like.
I love Matthew McConaughey.
He's great. Bill Macy is in it, aka William H. Macy.
William H., of course.
Yes.
Bill Macy.
And we go back.
Listen to you.
Marissa Tomei. She's in it. Your boy, Ryan Felipe, is in it.
Ah, back from the dead.
This is, I think, before he died.
He's dead?
No, I mean career-wise.
Okay. Jesus, dude.
Don't do that to me.
Don't do that to me. Good, anyway, is it? Is
yeah,
it worth
I love it. It's great. I went to see it in the cinema when it came out in like 2011 or whatever.
Would
or
I
2010.
Like it?
I think you would.
Okay.
I tell you why. I tell you what's great about it.
Go on.
There is a sex scene in it, an honest to God sex scene where, okay, you may not get to see penetration, but you get to see them actually like going into the bed together and like, you know, simulating sex, as opposed to, I was saying this to Faye the other day, when was the last time you saw a film that had a sex scene in it?
Quite a while, actually.
It's so chaste these days, like.
And it used to be everywhere.
I mean, we grew up with Striptease, Disclosure.
We grew up with that sixth sense, Terry, knowing when a sex scene. And you put it in right there in plain English. I said to Terry, I'm sure you've discussed this many times on the pod, but I said, I could always tell as a kid, when you just turn on a movie on a Saturday night or a Friday night, I'm like, no, there's going to be sex here in about 10, 15 minutes. I can tell by the vibe. And Terry pointed out it's a blue or purplish hue to the movie. If it's got that sort of hue, then there's a chance.
I mean, that's what they call it, a blue movie, isn't it? Like,
is it actually?
I don't know. I mean, I guess no. So.
Blue would be a term outside of movies.
All right. Okay.
I'm talking straight.
As per. I just wanted to, I don't know, we never talked about it, and it's coming up in a month, the Oscars.
Oh, yeah.
Don't know if you saw any nominations.
I didn't. Any tickle your fancy?
Like, there's a couple of ones that, like, all in all, like, they seem like they're very good nominations.
Can I ask you a question? Because I watched your man from the Falcon. I seen him on Hot Ones, right?
Mackie?
Yeah.
Yeah?
And I didn't realise he was one of these, like, Juilliard-trained actors. But anyway... he's a thespian, but he was saying that, I don't know how much you agree with this, I made a note of it to ask you, that the lead is often like the one sort of obviously carrying the show or carrying the movie and things like that, but it's the supporting actors, the third, fourth and fifth actors, who get to do kind of the most acting. And he said that's why supporting actor is a more coveted a nomination than Best Actor in the Oscars. And I kind of thought, no. Like, I
don't know.
I kind of agreed with the first part, but the Oscars, I think I'd rather win Best Actor than Best Supporting Actor.
I know. I think if you win either, like...
It's kind of the same.
I do kind of agree with him that the meteor roles are like... the supporting ones, or like, maybe like sometimes they just get to have more fun with it, like, you know, like if you look at,
because the main guy can't be unhinged all the time,
that's the thing, or if he does, by and large, like, they never get nominated as well. Though, like, it's very hard to make that one that's appealing to everybody if your protagonist is, not that he's not likable or whatever that, but like, if he's
crazy,
he doesn't have redeeming qualities.
Yeah,
it's very, very rare that you see those ones.
Yeah.
Although, having said that, fucking Phoenix won for Joker last year, so who knows?
And that nearly lost you altogether. But you're back this year anyway.
I don't know if I'm back, but
tail between the legs, hat in hand, saying sorry, Oscar. I don't know what I was thinking.
That, like, that film I watched, Promising Young Woman. Remember I was talking about it? How it's like. You won Carrie Mulligan, who's like taking revenge, quote unquote, like on fellas that try and pick her up when she pretends to be drunk or whatever.
Yep.
You don't remember that at all? I do, but like,
I can't keep up.
Yeah, it was like, it's got like six nominations, and I was like, it's okay. Like, I wasn't crazy on it, but like the fact that like that is getting so many nominations.
What do you think should win Best Movie, in your opinion?
This year. I don't know. I really don't know. There's a few I've missed that I wanted to see, like Minari I wanted to see, which is, it's about a Korean family that moved to Arkansas. So, like, wouldn't be for you, I don't think.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, you know what I mean.
I liked Parasite.
You potato head.
I liked Parasite.
Yeah. Parasite was a Korean... anyway.
Yeah, there you go. But let me ask you this though, if I may, what is the last movie that won Best Movie that you thought deserved it? Would it have just been Parasite?
Parasite, yeah, definitely. I don't know, like, there's a few that like have won, like Green Book won Best Picture 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and I'm just like, okay, like
green book.
Yeah, exactly. Like there you go. It's kind of funny that like some years there's like four or five ones you think could be best picture.
Yeah.
Winners, like they'd be good enough. And then there's years where it's just like, okay, this is what we have to offer. Like this year,
is it kind of slim pickings this year?
It's different. It's a different one completely because, you know, so many stuff has gone to like VOD as opposed to like, so there's so many more indie films that are getting recognized, which right. is great.
Good.
Because there's no studio films being released, really.
Of course.
So it's a bit more interesting, but you know,
interesting.
I hope your man from The Walking Dead, Glenn, is up for Best Actor, first Asian person to be nominated for Best Actor in the history of the Oscars.
Interesting.
It's crazy. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say. There. Yeah. Oh, and also, I've been exercising, Andy.
You have, eh?
Mm-hmm.
What you been up to?
I've been doing some running again. I'm back.
Back in business.
Excellent. I tell you, I switched up my running playlist and my times have gotten better and better and better.
What kind of music did you switch from and to?
I took some out. So I took out stuff that I thought would be like high octane with a you know, like so I took out Birthday by the Beatles.
Yeah.
I took out something, One by One by the Foos.
Yeah.
They just weren't doing, even though they're traditionally they're good running songs. Mm. I took them out. I took out First Date by Blink-182. It's gone.
Oh my.
But I, you know what I put in? I put in songs that make me feel good. Nice. I put a smile on my face. That extra, you know, spring in your step, if you will.
Yes.
So you know, I tell you what the best running song I've come across now in the last while is Curtis Mayfield, Move On Up.
Oh.
If you're ever feeling like I'm like, oh Jesus, I need to take a break, and then you hear like bum bum da 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 da, you're back up. I tell you. You're like, oh, you know what? Yeah,
very good.
But I got my time down to 5:05 per K.
Very nice.
Which I'm quite happy with, I have to say. Yeah. Because I haven't had it that good in a while.
Yeah, that's a very good time.
Yeah.
How many K? One.
I do 30 minutes. So okay. I try to do as much as I can in 30 minutes. So like it was like 5.67 yesterday, and that averaged out at 5:05.
Well, good, Terry. I need that. I need to hear that.
Do you want to be added into our group? That
yeah, like I already post? Said yeah. And no one added me, lads. Yes, I need inspiration more than anyone.
Okay. I'll fly at the flagpole.
Thanks.
And see what they say.
Thanks. Don't slag me off. I don't want anyone to slag me off in the group. I don't want anyone to mention this.
It's a very positive group.
Great.
We actually don't post anything, take the piss out, and really like.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it's very much like.
Do you find it hard sometimes to not make a joke?
No, because we have another group that, like,
okay,
you slag each other in, and this one is very. If somebody posts a time, it's a big clap. Or if there's jokes being made, it's all in good fun.
Oh, deadly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. I want in, please.
Okay.
If they'll have me. I've been eating better anyway, so.
Have you?
Exercising is my next step. Yeah, I had fish and couscous for lunch. Or couscous, I don't know how you say it.
I hate couscous.
It's a spicy one.
Yeah, still
but anyway,
it.
It's still have not like as good as a roll with sausages and hash browns in it.
Or crisps. Crisps are a killer for me.
Mm.
I love them too much.
Yeah. Everyone's got their vices. What kind? Well, ready salted?
Any kind. Okay. A good cheese and onion is good.
You wouldn't be a Thai sweet chili man at all.
Oh yeah, I am. Like, but like, it wouldn't be your first choice.
Oh, that's my go-to. Chewits like, are my vice.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, and every time Kerry gets them, and she'd be like, "There's Chewits over there," I'm always like, "Oh, damn you!
Why?
Damn you! You know I can't control myself."
Any sort of fizzy sweet as well, like
yeah.
See, probably this big business in Instagram sweet market.
Hmm.
Anyway.
Anyway, yeah. We have to talk about The Simpsons today.
That's what we're here for, of course.
Terry specifically if you're quite done blabbering on, can I talk to you about Treehouse of Horror 7?
Yeah.
More specifically, Terry, can I talk to you about... Oh, okay, no, I did it backwards.
Yeah, it's the fine.
Eighth
yeah,
season, episode one. Now, why is this?
I don't know. I was wondering.
It did air around Halloween, but was the season late in starting?
I have not... Because they've done it later on in the series as well. Like, the first episode is the Treehouse of Horror. And traditionally, the Treehouse of Horror has been... early enough anyway, isn't it? Like,
it's usually like
three or four
or something like that, yeah. But there's still like, there's 25 episodes in this season. I don't get it now. But
should
anyway.
Have asked Bill Oakley.
Yeah.
ring him up, hello.
Hey, Bill, Andy, put it in H. Listen,
what?
Quick question.
Who is it? I'm hungover.
It's 3 a.m. It aired October 27, 1996. Written by Ken Keeler, Dan Graney, and David S. Cohen, and directed by Mike B. Anderson. Now, there's not a huge amount of information on the production by Charles...
Marshall Talmadge.
What is it? What's his name?
Marshall Talmadge.
Marshall Talmadge. Great, I'll remember that. Because I always want to quote that bit, and I can never remember the name.
The production.
Feel the
Excuse
onion.
Me. Keep stuffing your talentless faces with my mother's crab cakes. No, excuse me.
I tell you,
if you ever watch those four episodes in a row, whatever, like his character is all over the place.
He's
like,
one of the best things.
Tasty. Or like he's like, stop, this is terrible. You are
bad actors.
This is a terrible play.
That was great.
And then that's when Friends was on all cylinders, because the reveal at the end that they've been
going to get on this
spaceship. Like they've been feeding you so much of like the, you know, scenes from a marriage type thing.
Yeah.
And then it's like the spaceship at the end. Oh, perfect.
Because baby, I'm going to want to meet her.
You won't have aged. Oh, I won't have aged at all.
The last two Treehouse of Horror episodes, Treehouse of Horror 7 does not feature any wraparound segments. The King and I was written by Ken Keeler. The Genesis Tub was written by Dan Graney. And Citizen Kang was written by David X. Cohen. So, said
are we
the
to
first
believe
time.
These are two different David Cohens?
Despite the similarities, The Thing and I is not based on the plot of the 1982 film Basket Case, before you ask, Terry.
Of course.
The Genesis Tub was originally pitched by Cohen, and it was later referenced in the South Park episode Simpsons Already Did It, when they pointed out that the Simpsons had gotten the idea from the 1962 Twilight Zone episode called The Little People.
It's very Twilight episode.
Yeah, it is.
Not Twilight Zone, excuse me.
The sequence where tiny spaceships attack Bart in the Genesis Tub marks one of the first uses of computers in the Simpsons animation. The computer was used to build models for reference, and the animators later retraced it. The 1996 presidential election occurred a few days after the airing of this episode. And according to Cohen, the Citizen Kang short violated every rule of The Simpsons, as it locked the episode in one time and named specific candidates.
Yes, it does lock them in one time, but my God, it's as prescient today as it was back. Like, if you think of the last... two presidential elections.
Yeah.
The two candidates, say, were... people wanted Trump, but I don't think that's, like... He was never their first choice, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
He was never the Republican Party's first choice. And, like, Clinton... When I remember thinking, the two choices were Trump and Clinton, you know that democracy is failing. And the same with Biden this time around. He's so many Democratic voters... He was not their first choice, but then they were like, anybody to go against Trump?
Yeah.
You know, anybody that could win against Trump? Like,
yeah, it was literally just anybody else.
Yeah, so like the idea of like being locked in with, you know, two people that you don't want at the end of that episode, I thought
it
was
could
genius.
Apply.
Yeah.
I don't have a huge amount else. Let me see if there is anything else. The reception, of course. Had a Nielsen rating of 10.5, so the early episodes tend to get, although it's a Halloween one as well, but the early episodes always tend to get the higher ratings.
I think it's that, like, you know, we've missed you.
Now, it says equivalent to approximately 10.2 million households and was the third highest rated show on Fox that week following Millennium and X-Files.
Now, Millennium was Aliens, I think. It was an alien show.
I'm trying to look because I clicked onto Nielsen ratings.
.com.
Like, it's not, obviously, it equates to 10.2 million viewers, but, like, that's not the case.
Nielsen's system is weird.
Yeah. Like, it's based on, like, sample testing, yes. Almost.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what the Nielsen, it is, if you're selected as a Nielsen household, they take, so you could be, like, one of four households. You're the vote, you're the rating for those four households, if you get me.
Yeah.
Something like that.
It says here, in general, the number of viewers within the 18 to 49 age range is more important than the total number of viewers.
Yeah, that's what they use now for, because we were talking about AEW last week.
Yeah.
And what was happening was AEW and NXT were both on TV on the Wednesday nights. So it was like the Wednesday Night Wars, is what they were calling it. And Jericho was doing this whole gimmick where he used to do the, I think it's the time slot at around the hour mark was the most coveted one in that demographic, 18 to 49. So it was they'd have his segments on at that time, and that would get the big win between the two shows, and he would start he was calling himself the Demo God. Because he was
brilliant.
That's just how clever he is.
That's really good.
Yeah,
that's why they used to always have the Divas pool whatever mud wrestling match on the hour, because it was when people were flicking around their shows. But I thought this was interesting. I know this. We'll get back on the Simpsons now, but apparently, because that age range obviously is more people watch and more people buy, but there was a sample done in 2008 where ABC were able to charge $400,000 per commercial during Grey's Anatomy, compared to half that for CSI, despite CSI having 5 million more viewers.
Yeah,
because older people watch CSI.
You don't spend as much money.
NBC was able to charge almost three times as much for Friends as it did for Murder, She Wrote, even though they had the same amount of total viewership. That's interesting.
Yeah, because the young people are going to be watching Friends, and your granny, who doesn't have a lot of disposable income, is going to be watching Murder, She Wrote.
Murder, She Wrote, yeah.
Jessica Fletcher.
But that's all I've got.
Let's dive into it, Andy. I'm actually itching to talk some stuff.
Well, it's funny, actually, as I was watching it was quite nice when the Treehouse of Horror started and the music's playing, and Kerry was like, "Don't you just feel like you're 10 years old again?" And I was like, yes,
yeah.
I do.
Yeah,
that's exactly why I love them. They're always her favourite ones. But there's something about that just opening music. It just draws you right in.
And Homer, it's something different. He's like lighting the pumpkin.
Yeah.
Oh, he's on fire. Straight away you're like, oh, we're in.
Now, I don't know if I've jumped too much already, but my first note is I've always loved the scene of Homer going up the stairs with the bucket of the fish, with the bucket of fish heads.
Da, 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 da.
And that's what I love about these kind of storylines, especially when I was a kid. Any sort of storylines where the parents are aware of something, or they've been hiding
acting weird.
Yeah, and the kids what's going on? I always found that really interesting.
That's what kind of makes a good Treehouse of Horror episode, in my opinion,
yeah.
Or a segment even, is that when it's the regular characters, but they're acting weird, and there's something sinister about them,
So I
they don't
that.
Have to be monsters or anything like that, but
yeah.
I did even before that, where they're talking about it, and the kids are saying, "What's up in the attic?" or whatever. And he's like, "Oh, the attic? Oh, that's silly. But seriously, don't ever go up there."
Yeah, laughing.
Yeah. And then Marge's like, "Isn't it time for the you-know-what?"
Yeah, right in front of the kids as well.
Yeah.
And he goes up with the fish heads.
My favorite bit, sorry, is when it comes up when he's like, I worked my butt off to feed you four kids. And I'm like, three? We have three children. Like, yeah, three nosy children. Just Marge being that, like, three?
And Homer doesn't even cop that he's made a mistake. Yeah. He's like, yeah, three nosy kids. Big fan of... So, anyway, yeah, he's eating the fish heads anyway. But the next note I have here was the... when they're up in the attic, Bart and Lisa, and they see, first of all, they see the
autobiography,
which love is it. So funny.
It's that chef's kiss of like the best book title in the history of the show. Yeah, I think
it's probably the one that's most referenced as well.
And it's the one that was on my Simpsons quiz on my old Bebo page. Like, Homer, I hardly knew Bebo. Me.
Of course.
Great.
Their attic is huge, I have as well.
Yes.
This place is a palace. It's massive.
I did like the gag when, so they see, you know, Hugo something. Or whatever, like, yeah, something. They run downstairs and the gag of the three vases.
Yeah.
You'll switch around in here.
Very good. I like that.
And then, of course, they come out of the closet as opposed to being in the vases, the way they have the shot set up.
It was very nice. It was very nicely done. One thing I did laugh at was when they tell Bart that he has a brother. And Lisa's like, I have two brothers? Like, Lisa, please.
Yeah. I did, like, again, Marge was killing it. Where it's like, we saw something in the attic. We saw something in the attic. He's like, the attic? I'm very disappointed and terrified.
I must say as well, Dr. Hibbert is great in this segment.
He always works in a Treehouse of Horror episode for some reason, like, he's
because he's so this, clinical, like
yeah, you know. And this ominous, because I guess in horror films there's a lot of doctors explaining things,
yeah,
you know, so it works when he's playing that character.
And when he is explaining what happened, I never ever picked up on this line before, but he goes, a routine soul smear detected the presence of pure evil. I never picked up on that line.
A soul smear. Like,
a soul smear. Brilliant.
Like, and just the way they draw the baby. Like
the frown. Yeah. It's the little frown. It's like, what to do with poor Hugo?
Too crazy for boys, like, town. Too much for boy for crazy town. The child is an outcast, so we did the only humane thing.
Yeah, we locked him up in the attic and fed him a bucket of fish heads once a week.
It saved our marriage.
So it used to really bug me as a kid when they went out to look for Hugo and left Bart there. Yeah. I get now, obviously, that's the joke.
Yeah, you taped the hockey joke. Game.
Yeah, and he's like, "You're here."
And then I love this voice. I don't know why.
Hugo's voice.
I never left you.
Yeah,
like I just love it for some reason. Like.
It's like, it kind of sounds like Bart if he was a teenager or something.
Yeah.
And he's going to join them back together or whatever. He's like, you're crazy. He's like, am I? Perhaps we're all a little crazy.
I know I am.
That's a great line.
And like, he's like, I made a pigeon rat.
I always like that line.
Yeah.
I made a pigeon rat.
Hibbert being like, you've never seen your own face. And then that, like, iconic frown.
It's the stillness. You just see his face, like...
and the rabbit punch, like...
Well, let's get started. You want to be on the right or the left?
Hugo, stop!
There, Hugo, I understand. All those years caged up in here, why, you've probably never even seen your own face in the mirror, have you? Here.
We think we saw Hugo at the airport. He was boarding a plane to Switzerland.
Very good.
And then like the fact that, you know, Bart is the evil twin.
They realize, yeah, Bart's the evil one.
It's a great thing. It was like, they say the left or sinister twin is the evil one. It's like, I had a theory that, oh wait.
Yeah.
His scar is on the wrong side.
I love how deep his voice gets where he's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Bart Scar is on the wrong side.
And the whole thing. Oh, there's been a couple of jokes in this part where it was like, I know exactly what to do. And it's like him carving. Yeah. Or the when the twins separate, the Siamese twins, when he's like, you'll have to sign these. Like,
oh, couple of good jokes. Pick like up that. On like, that.
Care for a drumstick, Hugo?
Yeah, so Hugo takes Bart's place, which again, as a kid, always seemed so unfair to me. But I love the way Dr. Hibbert, like the way he delivers the line, where he's like, "Well, chalk this one down to carelessness on my part." he's just glazing over the fact that he got them completely mixed up.
I do love like Bart in the vent. He's like, "Can I have some turkey?" He's like, "Eat your fish heads, then we'll talk."
Poor Bart.
Yeah. That's the end of the episode. That's
the end of that segment.
Yeah, the segment.
And then on to the
Genesis tube.
Genesis tube. First note is big. I was a big fan of the line "mold." That's science fair pay dirt.
So Lisa is going to see if her tooth will dissolve when it's put in soda.
Yes.
And Bart does a bit of like static electricity.
Yeah, he shocks her, and then when she goes to touch the tooth, it electrocutes.
I don't know. Yeah, that's the thing. This is the thing. It creates the town, I guess.
Yeah.
I did like the whole idea of the 1x, 10x, 100x microscope.
Oh yeah,
I did like that. I don't know why. It's just like that. Looking at it, it's like oh.
And it's a good scene, even just the way the camera angle is, where she's like, "I've created life," and the camera's like all underneath. It's like a big grand moment, and then
it was like doo, 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 the music, like
doo, yeah,
doo, it's like, and then Lisa waffles.
Oh, waffle!
And it's waffle a classic iron's in the shop.
That's it's a just, real like normal, as our pal Bill Oakley said, and like just one of those real normal sort of everyday moments where like. Yeah. She comes back up the stairs grumbling, like, "Waffle Iron's been in this shop forever." You know, such a mundane thing. What else I got here? Bart back to his little shit status in this episode.
I was thinking that all right myself now. I wasn't happy with him.
No, not at all. Now, I did like obviously, they're evolving at a fantastic speed. And
she's created Lutherans.
Lutheran. I found that to be weird. Of all
that the Lutherans, I think it's just it's to place it in history. That's the thing, like,
right? Okay.
It's because it's something like I learned about it in history class. So I think it's just to be like, this is they've evolved from cavemen to the Renaissance. You know that kind of way. Like,
when you're a Renaissance man, you're always home. To quote Matthew McConaughey.
What was the one I sent you? Where it was like,
that was
note to self.
He did that a lot in the audiobook. Note to self. Like, okay, Jesus.
Jesus, Matthew.
I loved the shot of the tiny ships coming out.
I was just going to say, because when you mentioned the like computer animated thing, I was like, I love how they look when they leave the tub and like what Bart's face looks like after they shoot him up. Like, you know?
And
looked really good.
It did look a bit different. One, I love the comedy of the tiny ships, and then the massive ship that's bigger than the petri dish comes out. Even like the little lasers flying around, like you could tell it was different the way they were like flying around his face.
And it kind of sucks that because they only have a limited amount of time, but like the idea of like Bart being like, you gotta let your guard down sometime, and then immediately she shrunk into.
Yeah,
tiny just like town. That. Like there was,
it worked.
There was more rope there.
Yeah,
if they needed it, I guess, you know.
The debigulator.
Yeah, I love how it's just Frink as well. Like,
yeah,
you know.
I never picked up on the line. And first of all, love the voice on the guy, the main guy.
Most gracious Lisa. This guy,
the devil is your brother.
We have listened to you since the dawn of time, O Creator, and we have learned to imitate you exactly. Love that.
I never exactly. picked up on that either. Yeah. Imitate you exactly. What does the first guy say? The first guy in the crowd.
Yeah, the best he's one. Like, "Hi, I work in the clock tower."
Yeah. What was it he said?
Because
remember,
like,
there
why
was.
Why does God allow good God allow bad things to happen? Then your mom's like, "Why am I so fat?"
Yeah, no, but like I can't remember the exact line, but it was there was three questions, and maybe that is what it was. But the guy just had like this, like,
it's that voice,
journalistic of tone.
The fact that he's like, oh, I work in the clock tower.
Yeah,
yeah. If you're so good, why you allow bad stuff to happen?
Yeah,
they unshrink you. That would require some sort of regulator. it is very dark, the end, though, isn't it? Like,
she just kind of stays.
She's stuck there, like.
Yeah, and know? Bart win. I did like the, you know, Bart just renames it My Little Universe.
Yeah,
and Skinner's like, Willie, you can throw out the other projects. We have a winner.
Yeah,
just walking along with the wheelbarrow.
Skinner.
But the one line that I always laughed at was the.
When I Lisa's created like, the universe. Give me the gift certificate.
And she's like, shouldn't you be groveling?
Yeah.
Give me some shoes.
Like, and the guy,
she wants socks too.
I'll get socks.
Yeah. Oh, excellent.
Good. Again, you know, another good segment.
I'm going to save all my thoughts for the end. Because, all right.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what? I'm just going to leave it. Now. Homer fishing by himself. This is the presidential one. Homer fishing by himself. It seems nice, but it doesn't seem right to me.
But
I
they,
can't imagine Homer.
But that's the thing. Then he's like, "You're stupid fish." Like that's the veneer is peeled back very quickly.
Interesting. Yes, of course. Yeah. That makes sense.
And they do that to get the great bit of animation under the water. So you get to see.
Yeah, it was
shit.
Great.
It looks great. Like
that was actually great.
I just like how. First of all, I just like Kang and Kodos. Haven't seen them in a while. You know.
Yeah. We've reached the limits of what rectal probing can teach us.
My name is Kang, and this is my sister Kodo. Is like, hello.
Now, here's one thing I didn't know about this episode. Phil Hartman does the voice of Bill Clinton.
Yeah, I picked that up. Yeah, I picked that up.
Bob Dole was great, though, as well.
Clinton. so they go... And just when he's getting like taken up, like, oh, Bob Dole don't need this.
Yeah, that was always the line. But the one I appreciate more as an adult is where he gets sucked up. He's like, what the hell is this? Some kind of tube? Fills up immediately.
Clinton getting picked up is like, is it noon already?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, hey, thanks for taking care of Dole. Whoa!
And so they form their bodies, and Homer says, they basically spray him with
aliens, rum. Bioduplication, nude conspiracies. Oh my god, Linda LaRouche was right.
I was thinking that fall where they kick him out of the UFO, you'd be dead.
Sore. Like, but like, I did like, blah, 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 why are you spraying me with rum? So no one would believe your story.
I think it's just the voices of Kang and Kodos.
It's like, just like they're so
that's what
like,
makes them.
Hello.
And then when you get Brockman. You start seeing the aliens as the candidates. So Clinton.
But I love like these little things like Campaign 96, America flips a coin.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah.
And what is it that like is that the one where he's like abortions for all?
No, he's like, I am Clinton. As overlord, all will kneel trembling before me and obey my brutal commands. End communication.
And Marge again, be like, that's slick Willy for you, always with the smooth talk.
Yeah.
Like no one noticing something like really different going on.
The next one is the next one is when they're talking to Bob Dole, or it's Kang. And he's like, why should people vote for you instead of Clinton? He's like, it makes no difference which one you vote for. Either way, your planet is doomed. Doomed. Like, a refreshingly frank response there from Senator Bob Dole.
And the way he leans into the camera on the second doomed.
And then you get Bob Dole doing the abortions for all.
Yeah.
No abortions.
I always remember that line. Yeah. Miniature American flags for others. Weird even for The Simpsons to be talking about abortions, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Particularly in 96, like, or maybe it was easier then to make jokes.
I think they were getting there because I remember Seinfeld had kind of
done
a thing about it as well a couple
of
years.
On abortion.
Yeah, you know, but it had been talked about, you know?
I suppose, yeah. It was in the zeitgeist, as they say.
I did like how when they're walking, holding hands.
I love that line.
And then your man is like, oh, Mr. President, sir, people are becoming a bit confused by the way you and your opponent are, well, constantly holding hands.
We are merely exchanging long protein strings. If you can think of a better way, I'd like to hear it. Brilliant. And then you get the infamous.
My fellow Americans, as a young boy, I dreamed of being a baseball. But tonight I say we must move forward, not backward, upward, not forward, and always twirling, twirling, twirling towards freedom.
Yeah! As a young boy, I dreamed of being a baseball. I don't know why, but like Homer, when he's like bursts in, it's like they're alien replicons from behind the moon, and they like get kicked out, and then it was because like, he was using the flag to like defend himself, and your man's like, take your stinking flag with you as well.
And what else I got here? Yeah, the not forward, not backwards. I just have
Clinton in the tube. No.
Yes, that's the next one. I have Homer let us out. Like, they finally, they're about to reach, like, world peace.
Well, that's the thing. And he's like, oh, man, am I still here? I don't want to serve out my term naked in a tube.
And the way Bob Dole's like, you know, you got a point there, Bill. And then when they're, like, when he sucks them out of the tube, I love the fact that, like, their hands and legs, like, flounder for a second, and then they're just still spinning. What have I done? What am I doing? What did I do?
Again, like, very, like, bleak.
Yeah.
I do love that, though. The politics of failure have failed. Vote for me, Senator Bob Dole.
Yeah. And when he finally does, like, reveal them, and it's like, either way, you have to vote for one of us. Like, I'll vote for a third party candidate.
Again, that's just a very good critique of the American voting system.
Go ahead, throw your fucking away. That probably gave me the biggest laugh of the whole thing.
But then the fact that it's just like they go ahead with it anyway, you know, like,
yeah. And plus, again, I don't know if it's the fact that Marge is saying it, and I just have a soft spot for Marge in the last season, but just the way, even the fact that she's like, I don't see why we have to build a ray gun to aim at a planet I never heard of. Like, what have they got themselves in for? Like,
don't blame me. I voted for Kodos. The end.
Terry, should we get into ratings?
Please.
We want you to tell us what you think and be honest.
I want to know, because you said you were going to spill your guts, if I can paraphrase.
You can.
So what did you think of these?
I thought it was okay, to be honest. I thought the Bart and Hugo one... Now, I don't know if... this is possibly the Treehouse of Horror that I've seen the most.
Oh, is it?
I think, yeah. So I don't know if that's clouding my judgment. I thought the Bart and Hugo one was funny. I thought the Lisa one was... felt like about 3 minutes long. It was
so short, kind of, isn't it? Like,
there wasn't a lot going on. It was just Lisa gets shrunk, basically. And then the last one, I didn't really care as much for that one either. I liked a few. Like, there was definitely some laugh out loud moments in it, but I don't know. I think I hold the Treehouse of Horror in a slightly higher. I don't know what you'd call it.
Yeah, strata. I mean, like. I was trying to think about this after I watched it. Like, what were my favourite ones? And my favourite one is the one with the Lard Lad.
Yeah.
Donuts and Homer Cubed and...
Yeah. Last season, wasn't it?
That was last season's one, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I would say probably the one with the evil Krusty doll, King Homer.
Yeah.
I think it was... No, it wasn't the Dracula one.
Oh yeah, that's a good one too.
I don't know. This would rank somewhere in the middle overall, because I do think the Bart and Hugo one is great. I love it. Like, the Lisa one is very short, and there's some funny bits in it. I enjoyed the last one more this time than I had in a long time. So I would say it's one very good one and two okay ones, but there's a lot of laugh out loud moments. I don't know. I think it's just because... like, I appreciate the satire more of the last part than I have in previous watches.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they're doing a good job skewering the American voting system.
Yeah, that was, it was a good social commentary on that one.
Yeah.
And I feel like we watch by happenstance, if I can possibly try out that word correctly, that we normally watch Treehouse of Horrors, it normally actually falls around the time of actual Halloween. So I don't know if that does anything to affect
I think we're on a different schedule now, because it used to be like 1 week on, 1 week off. That was kind of...
Yeah, we're here every week, folks.
Oh, God, can you believe
it? Love it or hate it?
Yeah, hate it or love it, underdogs on tap.
Is that Matthew McConaughey?
That is 50 Cent and The Game.
Oh, I'm sorry I asked.
Excuse me? You don't remember The Game? Remember The Game?
I remember The Game. I never rated The Game, and I never rated 50 Cent either.
I mean, yeah. You know,
you the same?
Fair enough.
Oh, I thought I was saying something controversial.
They were not my guys.
No. They were too muscly for me. It's like, what are you? You a rapper? Or you fucking...
I don't know, but a lot of rappers are...
No, they are. I wasn't going anywhere with that, with that point.
I mean, something else is something else.
Yeah. Let me ask you, who your MVP is, Terry.
Mrs. Marge Simpson.
Boom. Starting the season as she finished season 7.
Yeah. I just got the biggest laughs out of hers. Three children.
And what about a rating, Terry?
I'm going to give this an 8.3.
8.3.
Good, but not great. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know what you mean, pal. I would be in a similar...
Do you know what I mean?
I'm going to give it to Dr. Hibbert.
Oh, okay.
I quite liked him in this. I will give it an 8.0. So just an 8. I thought it was okay. I don't know if it, like, I, when I seen it was this one, I'll admit I had a bit of a like, all right then. So again, I don't know if that clouded it. It was the fact that I'd seen it. I feel like I seen it pretty recently as well. And I try not to when it's on TV. If there's a later season coming up. I think it might have been the fact that I was trying to get Joni into it, or she was into the Treehouse ones.
Okay.
So I stuck on a few. So I think that was only last year or something. So I dumbed myself.
Mm.
But yeah, still, I mean, better than pretty much everything else on TV. So I can't be too harsh.
Exactly.
Shall
we get our plugs in?
Please, Terry, where can they find us?
Why don't you tell me?
Instagram, Twitter at Put It In H Podcast. You can find links to everything we do there. In our Instagram bio is everything. We got merch. We got our other podcast, What's So Great About Marvel, which we just released 3 more episodes of. So there's about 8 other episodes. If Simpsons isn't quite your bag, but you're into Marvel, check out our link in our bio, because we have another podcast with covering the whole MCU. We also have merch. And Terry, why don't you tell them what else we got there?
Well, we got the Patreon. That's right. If you want to become a member of our Players Club, it'll cost you the low fee of $5 or €4.50. Excuse me. If you're in the EU,
before taxes.
I can't speak for United Kingdom. That's a whole...
I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I don't know what it is. That's the thing. But over there, you get 4 episodes per month, 2 of our What's So Great About series, and 2 bonus episodes. On top of the main feed episode. So, like, we finished What's So Great About Marvel. So we've done a whole 24 episode mini series on that. We're in the middle of doing What's So Great About the 90s action movies.
If you follow us on Instagram, you've probably seen a couple of clips. We're having some fun chatting about some 90s action. And Kerry Butain, she'd be like, why don't you put this on? Like, it wouldn't quite be. I'm like, no, I need a ballsy hero. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, it's like, and I couldn't quite articulate it until she asked why such and such a movie wouldn't work. And I was like, no, like, it's a great movie, but it needs...
Well, I don't know.
Anyway. Anyway.
And the bonus episodes can range. You know, we've done ones on music. We've done ones on where we've kind of pitched movie ideas to one another. We've done ones where
they're always the most fun.
They are fun. Those trying to create pitches. Our own, like, festival ideas, you know. When we really get to get the creative juices flowing. But it's, like we say, it's a jazz set over there. Now,
if you only like The Simpsons, but you can take or leave us, it's probably not the place for you.
I mean,
I'll
you can
that.
Still sign up. It's $4.50 a month, guys, you know.
If you want, yeah, good bloody point, Terry. If you want to support, if you do like The Simpsons, but you don't like us, but you like this one, why not support us over there in the Patreon? But
you don't have to listen to it. Yeah. You know? Okay. Now, if you can't afford the low, low fee that we've talked about here. Times are tough, afford. I know. If you can't afford it, it's fair enough.
Take a good look at yourself.
Well, this is it, isn't it? But you know what you can do? You can help support me and Andy in another way by giving us a rating and a review. Now, you might say, what kind of rating or review would want me? We've just done an episode called Treehouse of Horror 7, and you're thinking, should I give it a 7-star review? You don't even need to give it a 7-star review. 5 stars is enough. That's all I'm looking for. I don't even need the 7 stars. It probably doesn't even exist, but I only want 5 stars from you. 5-star review, a rating, a review, say, you know, we're great, whatever. Even if you don't feel that way. You know what? I'm not encouraging you to give me a low review, but you know what? Any review helps. Any review.
No, I'm going to stop you there, Terry. Don't even think about leaving us a negative review. If you don't like it, just move on to a different podcast. Am I right, Terry?
Yeah, you're
right.
Leave
a 5-star review on your way out.
The other thing that we want to say is thank you so much for listening. If you made it this far,
yes.
this is the base level of support you can give us, and we're very grateful for it.
Really is the least you can do.
We were only talking about it the other day, and we love getting feedback from our fans, quote unquote, or just the people who listen to this. They might even be fans of us. But it always brings a smile on my face when somebody is like, I really enjoyed that episode.
It really makes both our day. If you think, I mean, I wouldn't be inclined to message a podcast and say, hey, great pod, because I'd probably think that they'd be like, yeah, whatever. But like, you know, it's something that every time from anyone, any sort of feedback, whether it's even good or bad, I like this, didn't care for this, like whatever, we just love to hear what you thought. So it always really makes our day. So if you like it, feel free to tell us.
Absolutely.
And other people.
You can get us on our, you know, email.
Putinhpod@gmail.com.
There is a plethora of ways to message us. Yeah. So thanks again, everybody, for listening.
Thank you. And
do you know where we're going next week, Andy?
No.
Why, we might be taking a little trip to Cyprus, Crete.
It's time.
Scorpio.
Amazing. I thought that was the first episode for some reason. I was like, oh, that must be season 9 or something. Oh. Great.
So you only move twice. Maybe the most famous episode of The Simpsons.
Fucking deadly. See you then, folks.
Let's dig in.
Just move on up toward your destination. Though you may find from time to time complication. We'll be right back. so keep on pushing. Take nothing less than the supreme best. Do not obey, you must be forsaken, but you can pass the test.